Daniela, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can. This is Alvin. I can hear you.
Okay, Alvin, we're working on our technical difficulties at the office. Something's kind of not right with the sound.
Okay. You all still can't hear me? I can hear you, Mike. Well, that's weird. So you can hear me, Alvin. They can't hear us. I don't know.
Now, I know Sarah could hear me. She said she could hear me.
Mayor Bakker, this is Elizabeth Wells. I can hear you also.
Huh. I wonder if Alvin, ask her if she can hear you right now.
Sarah, can you still hear me?
I think she was hearing you on her cell phone, Alvin.
Okay, we can hear you here. Hold on a second, please.
You can hear us. You're probably going to want to promote Pinky. She's on the other side.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Kwanzaa Hall, Chairman of Development Filter, and we'd like to start our regular meeting. This day is Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, 2 p.m. I'll start with one moment of silence. We lost the mother of one of our colleagues. Thank you. I'd like to call this meeting to order. We'll start with the roll call vote. Brandon Beach. Kwanzaa Hall, present. Mike Bakker.
Here.
Laura Kurlander-Nagel.
Present.
Pinky Cole.
She's on. Have you seen her name?
You have to promote her. She's on the other side.
Let me find her. She's allowed to talk now.
Pinky Cole?
I'm here. Hey, guys.
Thanks. Mike Looney?
Even the school board meeting, he said.
Erica Long?
Here.
Kyle Lamont? Alvin Kendall?
Here.
We have a quorum. We'll move down to item D, minutes for the August 27, 2024 and September 12, 2024 meeting. Madam Secretary, would you?
I move to approve the minutes from August 27, 2024 and September
12,
2024.
Second.
We have a motion and a proper second. Take a quick roll call vote. Brandon Beach. Kwanzaa Hall, aye. Mike Bakker.
Yes.
Laura Kurlander-Nagel.
Yes.
Pinky Cole.
Yes.
Mike Looney. Erica Long.
Yes.
Kyle Lamont. Alvin Kendall. Yes.
I don't think he's spoken, but he was on. I saw him.
It's on the attendee side. Do we have to move it back over?
I think we need to move Kendall back over. We'll count that as a yes. Item number E, approval of the meeting agenda. There's no objections. We'll set the agenda as presented. Item number F, public comment. No public comment. Item G, old business. Item G1?
Yep, at the request of the property owner, this item is being removed from the agenda so that negotiations between the parties can continue. And our expectation is that it will be before the board in October. So thank you.
Thank you. So item G1 will be before the board in the future. Item H, new business. There is none. Item I, items for discussion and approval.
Mr. Chair.
The presentation of the 2023 audit. Treasurer Bakker, we're setting up the presentation.
Yes. So, Mr. Chairman, while that's being set up, I just want to say that the Finance and Audit Committee had an opportunity to have the full presentation of the audit in our meeting at 1 o'clock today. Having heard the results of that presentation, we do recommend that upon the board's satisfaction, that the audit be accepted and approved.
But Alan would ask that you let in. And we're here too.
Thank you, Treasurer Bakker. We are working to bring in two other members, especially when we're on, working through these technical difficulties. Please bear with us.
Kyle Mon is on. He should
and
be.
Said, can you bring him over?
I'll be.
Kendall.
Yes, got it. He's allowed to talk now.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have the audit. Treasurer Bakker, do you have anything else to say on that?
No, I again, I don't want to steal the thunder of our audit presentation, but I do want to continue to thank our audit firm for their work. I want to thank our staff. It takes a lot to get to the point where you have a completed audit. And I know there's a lot of hard work that goes in by Sarah Elizabeth's team, Jim Stevens' team. And then I'll have comments on the back end after we have our presentation.
Okay, great. We'll set up for the presentation.
Elizabeth, I think is on. Elizabeth, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good afternoon. I'm Elizabeth Wells from the firm of Tab and Tab. We've been engaged to be the auditors of the Development Authority. So we did the audit for December 31st, 2023. We enjoy having the Development Authority as one of our clients, as I mentioned in the audit committee meeting. It's such a unique niche in government accounting that it gives our staff opportunity to view governments in a different way. So I have the audit presentation agenda on the screen. We are going to go over the letter to governance. We are going to go over the independent auditor's report. We will highlight in the management's discussion and analysis the financial position and the changes of net position. We will highlight in the notes to the financial statement, note 2, which is this footnote about conduit debt. And then finally, we will go over the internal control and compliance report. All of this information that I'm going to give you is kind of a summary. The full audit has been given to staff and they have more of the details, but I'll be available to answer any questions that you may have as we go through this presentation. Our standards require that we send a letter to governance, which is either the board or the audit department, depending upon how the organization is set up. We went over in detail the contents of this letter. So I'm going to tell the board that the reason for this letter is, as Mr. Bakker mentioned, we work a lot with certain staff in the Development Authority and Jim Stevens groups, and sometimes the board is not aware of any of the issues or the conclusions made during the audit. So this is a summary letter. What we're going to concentrate on is significant audit matters. I'm just going to mention and highlight that management of the Development Authority is responsible for the selection and the use of accounting policies. Significant accounting policies used by the Development Authority are described in Note 1 to the financial statements. No new accounting policies were adopted, and the application of existing policies was not changed during 2023. All significant transactions have been recognized in the financial statements in the proper period. This is the basis of accounting to make certain that the records are accurate. Also in this letter, it states that there are no significant accounting estimates in the Development Authority's financial statements. And it also states that the most sensitive disclosure was the disclosure of the conduit debt activity, which is in note 2 of the financial statements. And we will go over that in a little bit more detail. And then the final thing I want to point out, well, there's two final things I want to point out. The first one is we made no audit adjustments during this audit so that the financial statements we received reflected the operations of the organization as you were monitoring them during the year. And also that because this was a government audit, I'm subject to government auditing standards. There's a unique report that's also included in our audit. It's called Management Discussion and Analysis. It is required supplemental information. And we did not audit the management discussion and analysis or express an opinion or any assurance on the management discussion and analysis. We did review it to make certain that the information was cohesive and in line with what was presented in the financial statements. So there's no conflict there. This letter will be emailed to Mayor Botker and he will have it on file. Now we're going to move into the heart of the audit. The first thing we're going to discuss is the table of contents. In our audit, we have the financial section, which includes the independent auditor's report, the management discussion and analysis, which is required supplemental information, as I just mentioned, the basic financial statements, which is the statement of net position, the statements of revenue and expenses, the statement of changes in net position, the statement of cash flows, the notes to the financial statement. And then the next section is our report over internal control and compliance. For brevity and conciseness, we are going to go over the financial statements, the basic financial statements as they are presented in the MD&A when we get to that part. But the first thing we're going to do is the independent auditor's report. The first paragraph states our opinion, and I'm going to go ahead and just read this because this is the whole point, what we have been working towards and the Development Authority has been working towards is to have an opinion on their financial statements. So we have audited the company financial statements of the business type activities of the Development Authority of Fulton County, Georgia, the authority, as of and for the years ended December 31st, 2023 and 2022, and the related notes to the financial statements as listed in the table of contents that we just went over. In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the business type activities of the authority as of December 31st, 2023 and 2022, and the changes of its financial position and cash flows for the years then ended in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. This is an unmodified opinion. It means that an informed user of the financial statements can review the financial statements of the Development Authority and ascertain the financial position of the authority. This opinion letter also has a few other things that we explain. The basis of our opinion is we conducted an audit under generally accepted accounting standards. And as a result of the audit, we gathered audit evidence, and we believe that the evidence we obtained is sufficient and appropriate to provide the basis of our opinion. Then we have a paragraph on responsibilities of management for the financial statements. And this is to emphasize that management is responsible for the financial statements, for the preparation and fair presentation in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And that they give us these financial statements and they're free from material misstatement, whether due to fraud or error. And also the auditor has responsibilities during the audit. And the first one is to obtain reasonable assurance about whether the financial statements are in the whole, are free from material misstatements, whether due to fraud or error, and to issue a report that includes our audit opinion, which is what we're going over right now. And also, while we perform the audit, if you can move to the next page, we exercise professional judgment, identify and assess the risk of material misstatement, obtain an understanding of internal controls, evaluate the appropriateness of accounting policies, conclude whether there's any issues that would impact the development authority that would make us be concerned about it being a going concern, whether it would not be around for a reasonable period of time. And we have no issues or concerns on that matter. Also, because of the way the opinion is set up, it stresses again that there is required supplemental information, where it is the MD&A, and the reason for the MD&A is it gives management the opportunity to explain the financial statements and put it in the context of the appropriate operational, economic, and historical events that may have happened during the year. Also, the MD&A is comparative, so you'll see 3 years worth of history there on when we go through that part. And then also the final paragraph, once again, emphasizes that we did an additional report that was required by government auditing standards over the internal control over financial reporting and also the test of compliance with certain provisions, laws, regulations, contracts and grant agreements. Okay. To the next page. Page four, we're going to go over page four and five in the MD&A. And the reason we chose this as opposed to the statements that are actually in the audit report is that this is very concise. And it also is comparative so that you can see trends or see what occurred over the last 3 years. And also management has decided to put a graph in here, which also gives a very, very good picture. Also included in this MD&A is a narrative that explains some of these changes between the years. So what I would like to point out here, this is the statement of net position. You can see that as of December 31st, 2023, the Development Authority had total assets, $9.3 million. It had total liabilities of $95,000 and total net position of $9.2 million. And so as we scroll down, you can see the graph on there. And the first column is blue, which represents the assets. And then the next column is really tiny. It's in black and it represents the liability. So you can see the proportionment of liabilities to assets. And then the third is the net assets or net position. And that is in the green. So it compares those 3 years. Those are the assets and liabilities on the what would be considered a balance sheet. Now, if we go to the next page, the Development Authority has chosen to present the statements of revenue and expenses and the change of net positions in one summary statement here. So you can see for 2023, the Development Authority had total revenues of $3 million. It had total operating expense of $1.2 million for a change in net position of $1.8 million. And that leaves your net position for the end of the year to be the 9.2, which correlates to the net position that we showed on the other page
where it was also 9.2. And then here's the graph that summarizes it. So you can see in the blue box, it's fees and other operating revenue. And in the green, it is operating expenses. So you can see the correlation of those two components for the 3 years. All right, and the next page just continues with the financial analysis that explains what happened in 2023 and then what happened in 2022. So we will just skip this right now and move to the footnotes. We're here on looking at note two. Note two is a sensitive footnote for the Development Authority because it's a very unique footnote disclosure for the Development Authority. Not a lot of governments have conduit debt. So this note explains a conduit debt obligation and why it is not the debt issuances that the authority does during the year are not shown on the statement of net position because they are just conduit debt that passes through. So this footnote says, the conduit debt obligations bear the name of the Development Authority. However, the Development Authority has no obligation for the debt beyond the resources provided by the loans and lease transactions with the institutions and businesses on behalf the debt is issued. The bonds and interest thereon do not constitute a debt, general obligation, or pledge of the faith and credit of the Development Authority. And then the last paragraph in this note states that in 2023, the Development Authority issued a total of $2 billion in debt issuance. And in 2022, it was $656 million. Also, on the very last sentence, it says that as of December 31st, 2023, the Development Authority has issued 282 revenue bonds that are still outstanding, and the value of that is $14.5 billion. Then we're going to go to the last section. This is our report over internal control and financial reporting. And when we do the audits for governments, we consider the Development Authority's internal control over financial reporting as a basis for designing our audit procedures. And so what we look for are material weaknesses and significant deficiencies. And a significant deficiency is a combination of deficiencies, which is just important enough to merit attention by those charged with governance. And that's when the design or operation of a control does not allow management or employees in the normal course of doing their jobs to prevent, detect, or correct misstatements. And a material weakness is a deficiency that there's a reasonable possibility that a material misstatement on the financial statements could not be prevented or detected or corrected on a timely basis. So during our audit, we did not identify any deficiencies in internal controls that we would consider material weaknesses or sufficient deficiencies that we would have to report to the board. But because we did limited procedures, a material weakness may exist that we didn't identify. And finally, this page is the report on compliance and other matters. As part of our audit, we perform tests of compliance with laws, regulations, contracts, and other agreements that non-compliance could have had a direct and material effect on the determination of financial statement amounts. The results of our test disclose no instances of noncompliance or other matters that are required to be reported under government auditing standards. Those are the issues that we wanted and the pages in our report that we wanted to bring to the attention of the board. We also discussed this with the audit committee, and the full draft will, approved draft will be sent, excuse me, there's no such thing. The approved draft will be finalized, that's what I was about to say, and sent to the Development Authority for their files and records upon approval by the board.
Board,
do I have any questions?
Does the board have any questions related to the audit? Mr. Chairman, hearing no questions from the board, I'll remind the board that this does come with a full recommendation, unanimous recommendation of the audit committee for acceptance and approval. And I'll offer that in the form of a motion.
Thank you for that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a proper motion and a second. One thing that came to mind was how this throw this out now is that, you know, have other members of the board had a chance to really review the audit, and we want to hold one cycle just to give everyone a chance to truly dig in. Not that there's anything wrong at all. It sounds really good.
I certainly don't want to inhibit board members from doing any due diligence they need. The thing about an audit is it's not something that we can really change. It's presented by an independent third party. It is a clean opinion. There is absolutely no issues that were raised as part of the audit. And it's almost a perfunctory ministerial effort on the fact of the board to accept it. It's basically you're accepting that they've handed it to you.
Thank you, colleagues. We have a motion, proper second. I will take the vote. Brandon Beach, Alfonso Hall, yay. Mike Bakker?
Yes.
Orlando Nagel?
Yes.
Pinky Cole? Pinky Cole? We'll circle back. Mike Looney? Erica Long?
Sorry, my background is loud. I'm here.
Gotcha. Kyle Lamont. Alvin Kendall.
Yes.
Okay. Proper motion seconded, and the item carries. Thank you for that presentation.
Thank you for allowing us to present to the board. If you have any questions, you can always contact either me or Lee Tab at TabTab. We're the Lee Tab is the partner, and I'm the manager on the job.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Bakker. Next up, this item's I-1. Now we're down to item I-2, the India Trade Mission. I'm excited to discuss another international delegation led by Fulton Chair Rob Pitts to India. The trip is being facilitated by the Georgia Indo-American Chamber of Commerce, the GIACC, a nonprofit chamber that is working to strengthen the business relationships between the U.S. and India, two of the largest economies in the world, with a particular focus on Georgia. This effort builds upon our ongoing international efforts to stimulate interest from leading overseas industries. The delegation is set to visit more than 50 companies during the 5-day trip from the 18th through the 22nd October. As I mentioned, I see this as a unique opportunity to shine a light on Fulton County and all that we have to offer to the world. We're really impressed with the group that came from Korea just 6 weeks after we had visited them. When I think about international companies, they may know Atlanta, but in the broad sense, we have to be deliberate in introducing them to Fulton County, specifically helping to grow companies on the south side or in places on the side where there's a need for investment. It's a deliberate act that represents planting a seed that could bloom into jobs and expanded industries here in our backyard. There is a
overview of the delegation presented by Chairman Pitt's office and the chamber in your packets. The companies to Georgia and I think to Washington on the earlier part of the year in March and April, and they visited. And actually since that time, a couple of the companies have already decided to locate and are going through the process of setting up in Fulton County. Quite impressive that they decided to be here. They would host this delegation. I think we have representatives from some cities on the south side in particular, College Park, East Point, potentially Union City. Mayor Williams has expressed interest, and City of Fairford. From a budgetary standpoint, the request was to utilize a portion of the Korean leftover funds from the Korean trip. It was about $7,700 left over of that $25,000 allocation, which I think is a blessing. Unfortunately, the trip cost is a little bit higher because of the route. It's not one of the traditional Indian cities. It's Coimbatore, which is the Detroit of India, the vehicle manufacturing. Much bigger than the cities we know the name of. So to get there, it's like a slightly different route. And it's either through Turkey or Qatar to make it as efficient as possible. I shared it with many members of the board that I had a chance to speak with. I think I missed you, board member Cole. And I did share the vice chair. He expressed an interest also in potentially participating if his schedule permits. I'll open it up for a discussion with the board and we can go from there.
Was anyone on the, anyone from Develop Fulton attends the meetings in the spring when they came to, when this delegation came to Georgia?
We didn't know about okay. it. Yeah, so this, we found out about this group after the fact.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So is this, so Chairman Pitts is leading this delegation
yes.
with the Indo-American Chamber of Commerce. Is this, are there also other counties involved in the state or is this solely a
Fulton County?
Okay. And how is it being funded for the people from Georgia who are going? Or is the Indo-American Chamber of Commerce sending their folks?
Yeah, they're independently funding. Okay. Each group or corporation is funded their own
okay.
way. So nothing from Development Authority, nothing from Fulton County.
Okay, got it.
Chairman Pitt's office is covering, or the county's covering, his side, and the other representatives from the various cities will be covering their way as well.
What about
Fulton? I haven't spoken with Samir myself. I know we had a call scheduled with him a few days ago and it didn't happen. But we definitely would assume that they would want to participate yeah. in some shape, form, or fashion from the traditional trade. But what I discovered when we were in Korea is that there's certain doors that are open because there's the financing mechanism that's there. And, you know, in particular, we have former electeds and
right.
the chairman. So he gets us in places that we might not otherwise get in.
Right.
Do we have any sense of the types of businesses that
Yes, I shared that in the packet. It's a list of about 52 businesses, and they manufacture heavy industrial equipment that might be. Yeah, if you could pull it up on the.
Yeah. And the other one that I showed
you. And it describes the size of some of these. It's not limited to these companies, but these mm-hmm. are the ones who visited. And they manufacture heavy industrial equipment like tire rims and. Airplane parts, drilling equipment of the heaviest type. So heavy industrial, if you think, you know, Detroit, yeah. I think the type of manufacturing you see there, this would fit in that space, but I think we would lean towards clean techs type of manufacturing. It's cleaner, modern day. And there's a lot of industrial buildings that are on the south side that could be utilized for this. And it'd be a great gateway to the United States.
But manufacturing, not data centers.
No, not data centers. Manufacturing, maybe logistics related
startups
as well. And there's some startups on there as well, tech innovation companies.
What's the number on the
not to the very right, but the number 150.42, is that the number of employees?
This number, annual revenue.
No, I was leaving the size. Okay. So that's the number, I'm assuming size means the number of employees.
Employees, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there'll probably be larger companies that we would also
meet with.
But this is the group that came to Georgia
in
Fulton County.
It was
460. I think Sheriff Biss was going to try to join. I'm not sure if he joined the call or not. He may not have joined.
I didn't see
him. Okay. No problem.
Have a call in the state also just to coordinate with them. So just like looking back at her email, I think it's the State Economic Development Office just to coordinate what their experience is there and what it is moving forward just so that the trip can be coordinated with state efforts.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So obviously I was pretty outspoken on the first trip. We have hindsight, which is always a benefit. I can tell you that from a dollars and cents perspective, I was presented, and I appreciate you presenting to me some prospective budgets on this. I think that you can stay pretty close, from what I can tell, to the remaining money from the Korea trip. There's also money in the budget under economic development support that remains unused so far this year. So I think that, carefully handled with one of our members going on the trip, this should not prove to be much more than the remaining funds from the allocation the board gave for the Korea trip. So in essence, we can get two trips for one, so to speak. And I would very much support that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And now we do have a small caveat. I talked to the vice chair and he was, he expressed some interest in going on this trip. So I do want to put that on the table just as a point of discussion for colleagues. Vice Chair Lamont, would you like to speak on that?
I don't think he's on anymore.
He dropped?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I did want to at least put that on the table. We spoke before the Finance Committee, and I just gave him an update as to what was going on, and he said he would like to go or at least participate in some of the international trips, so I don't want to not honor that. But as you mentioned, Treasurer Bakker, there's potentially economic development support, so maybe we could still have a sidebar if we get this approved. We know we have the opportunity. If my schedule doesn't permit, I could also pass it to him, or, we figure out how to make it work.
And I guess my request would be that we consider sending a delegate, and obviously the board can, or Mr. Chairman, you can help facilitate who that is, and certainly our vice chair can always operate in your stead. If you're available for this trip, or if he's available for this trip, just between the two of you could figure out who the appropriate representative is. But I think if we could manage the budget, that would be my preference.
Yeah, I'm sure some people say, well, we got 1.4 million we just spoke about in the Finance Committee, but I received that and I'm open to a motion.
I move to use the money left over from the Korea trip towards sending one person from our board plus whatever actual costs there are to send them on this trip.
Have a motion.
Second.
Have a motion, a proper second. Do a roll call vote. Brandon Beach. Alonzo Hall. Yay. Mike Bakker.
Yes.
Laura Erlander Nagel.
Yes.
Pinky Cole.
Yes.
Mike Looney. Herb Long.
Yes.
Cal Lamont. Alvin Kendall?
Nay.
Okay, we have, I guess that's 5, 1, four, five yeas, and one nay. Item passes. Thank you, colleagues. We can move down the agenda to...
Yep, update from me. And I just have a brief update. Thank you, Chairman. First, we constantly talk and regularly talk to developers just about our program and how possibly we could help. But there was one recently that just really stood out, and it's just reminded me of how important the work of this board is. She is a developer who's looking at a site on Camelton Road and just kind of talked about all the different crime issues specifically on that site. She said there were designer entities who were suing some of the current shop locations for making coffee bags. It was just interesting hearing all the different issues that her group as a developer is trying to work through just to develop this site. And so she was trying to figure out how possibly our incentive, if it could help her. So it just reminded me and just wanted to remind you all about just how important your work is. Secondly, we have the Southern Post grand opening. That's October 24th. That's in Roswell. And that was a development that was approved before I got here. I don't know if y'all remember, maybe it was 2020 and maybe even before that, 2019. And they had gone through issues of a lot of delay with COVID and just a variety of different issues, but finally have their grand opening and are really excited. So I'll make sure that everyone gets that invitation because we're excited about that. And then the last is the Four Pillars tribute on October 10th. We have tickets for that. They're honoring the Russell family, so that'll be exciting. So board members are definitely invited to that. So please let me know if you're interested. And that's all for me, just short and sweet.
Okay, great. Thank that's you. J1. J2, we don't have an executive committee. J3, financial review audit. It's been completed. J4, Strategic Initiative Committee. Kyle Lamont on.
Mr. Chairman, you skipped our committee, I believe.
I thought you were done.
I know you'd like me to be, but I think I have some responsibilities to report to the board.
Yes, Treasurer Bacher.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just want to report to the board on the financials. Our revenue to date is $718,689. Our expenses is $723,502. We're operating at a slight deficit. I do want to thank the staff for their hard work in managing the budget. When we are under budget, we are about 52% below budget from a revenue standpoint. I will remind the board that that is not a doom and gloom statement yet, as most of our revenue does come in the fourth quarter, specifically in December, when a lot of closings occur on transactions that have been previously approved by this board. I will say there is some concentration risk in that for us to meet budget, most of three priorly approved transactions would have to close. We're hopeful at this point that most of them will, but there is no guarantee that we'll meet our budget for this year. And anything that we take up at this point in the year certainly would have a very low likelihood of being able to get through the process to close by December 31st. And I'm happy to answer any questions on the financials if there are any. The other items that the committee took up, besides the audit and the review of the financials, was a budget amendment, which comes with a recommendation of approval. That is a continuation of the discussion from our last meeting, where we approved a new set of lobbying groups, as well as a marketing firm. And to meet those budget requirements will require a budget amendment in the marketing and promotions line item of $26,250, and in the professional services line item, $6,250. That would allow us to pay both of those firms for their work for the remainder of 2024. And obviously that would be incorporated into the 2025 budget as presented to the board in the future. So with that, there is a recommendation for approval of a budget amendment for $26,250 marketing promotions and $6,250 for professional services that will be pulled from reserves. That's a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Sales a motion?
That's a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so we have a motion from we have a second?
Sure, yeah, I got a second, but I guess I'm confused. Why wouldn't this just be on the agenda?
Right. Right. Yeah. I think, I mean,
if, I don't want to delay.
Mr. Treasurer, I wonder if we might have approached it differently. I know, and we spoke about having the Finance Committee write up for this meeting, but it might not give us enough time sometimes to kind of determine what we need to put a little more energy into. Do we want to, what's the will of the body on this? I'm Treasurer.
The reason I did this was because our last action needs to be backfilled with budget. So I was just merely making sure we had the budget to take care of it.
What happens if procedurally this is not under
so I think just getting Treasurer Bodker's updates from the Financial Review Audit Committee, since that meeting just happened, some of those items aren't necessarily, like, I think when we approved the retirement benefits last month, it wasn't a separate item. So I think it's all kind of just covered under his updates and presentations and what he wants to then present to consider for approval. But moving forward, we can certainly try to have separate line items.
Give more time for people to digest something.
Although we did talk about this at the last meeting.
Yeah, I'll remind the board, they've already taken action that caused this. So it's not like this was a new item.
So we have
I'm merely putting numbers to it.
No, thank you for that. We have a motion, proper second. We'll do a roll call vote. Brandon Beach. Alfonso Hall, yay. Mike Bakker.
Yes.
Laura Frelander Nagel.
Yes.
Pinky Cole. Pinky Cole, she's still on.
She's on. She's raising her hand.
I think that means yes.
Hi. It took me out of the main chat. Yes, guys.
Okay. Mike Looney. Erica Long.
Yes.
Kyle Lamont. Alvin Kendall.
Yes.
Thank you. That item passes. Thank you, Treasurer Bakker. Any other items?
The other discussions we had, I just want to make the board aware that as a result of the elections of the last meeting, we will be updating our bank signatory cards. During that process, it was discovered that there were still old board members who aren't even serving on the board any longer in some of the spots. All of that will be updated at once, and that signatory process will start likely this week. It's just a standard procedure after we've had board elections to make sure the proper people can approve things related to the bank. Certainly happy to answer any questions on that if there are any. Hearing none, the last couple of items we took up as this board had asked, this is a number of months ago when we canceled an RFP related to replacing our audit firm. They had asked us to take up a potential procurement policy. We started discussing that at our meeting a little while ago. We're not at a place that we're ready to present something to the board, but I did want to inform the board that we are working toward a draft of a procurement policy that we would bring forward to the board for consideration. The last item we talked about was a very positive thing. This board passed back in June of 2022 a budget policy. And at the end of that budget policy, it permits the board in years in which there is a positive result, which was the case last year, as you just saw in your audit presentation. In fact, last year, as a result of operations, we ended up with a surplus of $1,469,261. That's a positive considering we've not been operating with those kinds of results since COVID, and may not this year. That said, that policy would ask the board to allocate percentages of those funds to whatever the board desires, but specifically in the policy, it talks about potentially allocating a percentage toward the unassigned fund balance. If a ceiling is not met, the ceiling is currently met, that does not stop the board from allocating a percentage. We also suggested an allocation of a percentage toward the general strategic initiatives, You may remember, for those board members who were around, that is the money that would be put into things like the strategic grants program. There's also a suggestion that a percentage be allocated toward locally based economic development initiatives that would allow this board to make specific economic development investments within the cities of Fulton County. And then finally, anything the board wishes could be allocated by percentage. So we're not bringing a recommendation forward at this time. The chair reminded us that we'll be doing a retreat soon, and that that may be the perfect time for the board to discuss and finalize the allocations of the percentages for the surplus of 2023. And that's exciting, and I hope we'll get to that soon, because obviously as soon as we've done that, we can start to put that money to work in Fulton County. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. We're moving down to item number J4, Strategic Initiative Committee. I think we'll probably get a report on that next month. J5, MFBE Committee.
No report.
No report. Okay, we don't have an executive session. Item K, our next meeting, item L, will be the Joint Development Authority of Metropolitan Atlanta, JDAMA. Early meeting will be Tuesday, October 8th, 2024 at 1 p.m. And the regular meeting of this body will be Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024 at 2 p.m. One other item is we do have a new member joining after October 1st. It's former Mayor of Alpharetta, David Bell Isle, and I think he'll be sworn in the next week or two. We also are looking forward to having a retreat, so we'll poll the board about that. And lastly, we'll roll out committee appointments after or leading up to the next board meeting. Do we have any other items for discussion? Take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion, and I'll take that as a second from Mayor Bakker. Roll call vote. Brandon Beach, Wanda Hall, yay. Mike Bakker.
Yes.
Mark Herlander-Nagel. Yes. Nikki Cole.
Yes.
Mike Looney. Erica Long.
Yes.
Kyle Lamont. Alvin Kendall.
Yes.
Okay, we are now adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
We made it in 1 hour.
Yeah.